So first of all, acknowledge Tom Clear. Tom Clear is our director of planning, and Tom has had a lot to do with the dike piece that you'll be seeing on this, because one thing we share with New Orleans is dikes. And I don't think we are working here. Yeah. But just a little bit about Belglade and our hospital. And Belglade is a very interesting town, and it seems to be a magnet for a lot of public health issues. And some of you who have been around a while may know that back in the early 80s there were a lot of AIDS cases out in Belglade, and it was called the AIDS capital of the world. CDC did a big study looking for mosquito transmission. And just not too long ago, one of the doctors who worked in our ER was a terrorist, and he actually went to jail in New Jersey. And there is nothing scarier besides a hurricane than having the FBI come to the hospital with these four guys and, you know, we need the personnel file of so-and-so. So, you know, it's, again, a magnet for difficult issues, located in Belglade, an old... And we've had many hurricanes through the years, but you know, hurricanes cluster. And you know, even though there's been 22 times the hospital's gotten close to being hit through the years, you know, you go for periods of time where you don't have anything. And we're also just very closely related to Lake Okeechobee. You know, that's the big lake in the middle of the state. And there's a great potential there for flooding. And there are now levees and dikes, and we'll talk a little bit around there. But, you know, I kind of use the analogy of a shallow bowl, you know, and you kind of rock it and you know, it kind of spills over the edge. And that's kind of what Lake Okeechobee is. And some of you may know that there was a very bad hurricane that resulted in a lot of deaths in the area back in 1928. And if you're fans of Zora Neale Hurston, she wrote this book called Their Eyes Were Watching God. And it tells all about the experience of a family, a migrant family, after the hurricane. And it is very telling. And lots of people died in that hurricane. After that hurricane, they built up the levees and the, you know, breams and all that. But look at how much flooding happened after that hurricane. It was miles and miles out from the lake. And so back in 2005, we had a lot of concerns because, again, we were seeing the flooding in New Orleans. We have these levees, so, you know, I'm the CEO of default out there, so that whenever anybody quits, I have to run in because it's part of my kind of job to watch over that. And so I had to start making some calls, and I called the Army Corps of Engineers and asked them, you know, what's the levee situation here? No problem. Okay? And then I also had a consultant come out to look at the building. Now, the building's been through lots of hurricanes, and I got people that are telling me, you know, I was in the hurricane of 46 there, and the building's solid. And it is an old building, so it's got some real solid structures. And these consultants told me we were good to 120 miles an hour, but watch for water intrusion. And why this is all going to be a big thing is whether or not we should evacuate the thing before this hurricane comes, or if we're going to wait and kind of take a chance and see what happens. Now, they told us not to use the very oldest part of the building, which actually during the hurricane wound up cracking and kind of separating from the rest of the building. So then flooding risk, and the reason why the Army Corps of Engineers told us not to worry was that the lake was low, and you know, we have a drought in South Florida just like most of the Southeast does, and our lake, Lake Okeechobee, is only about 10 or 11 feet now, which is very low for the lake. This storm was dry and it was very rapidly moving. And it hit on 1024. It was a Category 3 when it hit, and then the eye passed right over the hospital. So hopefully if my animation works here, you know, you can kind of see where we went, and we were right there. And the real bad damage came when that second wall of the eye hit. And just to show you, you know, this was my physical therapy trailer. Of course, physical therapy is one of your few entities that make money, and you know, I didn't even talk about the money issue, but this hospital is a public hospital. Two-thirds of the people are at or below federal poverty level. It's a Medicaid hospital. It's safety net. You know, we don't have any money out there. So this is just totally destroyed. This was my materials trailer. And, you know, of course, one of the components are of emergency plans. You move everything out of the trailer before the emergency, but then it's stacked in the corridors of the hospital for weeks. So, you know, you got all this stuff everywhere. But it was pretty much destroyed. Look at how beautiful the sky is. And this is like 2 hours after the hurricane. It was a very rapidly moving storm. Trees down everywhere. Beautiful trees. Water everywhere. Sign, no signage. And you can see out on the street, you know, the electric poles are kind of parallel to the street. And, you know, we had no power right away, and then our generator failed, and then the utilities failed in town, so we had no water. So you can't really run a hospital with no power and no water. This is a skylight that blew out and hit me in the head as I was going up the stairs, because, you know, we didn't have power, and we had people on vents on the second floor, and so I was the first casualty to the ER. It was just, you know, nothing kind of prepares you for some of the things that happened. And, you know, we had, you know, our generator failed, which has never failed before, and you test it every month. Well, now we have two generators every hurricane season. You know, we had destruction of portables, roof damage, water failure. But how do you prepare for water utility failure? You know, if the water utility isn't pumping, there isn't much you can do. So we decided to evacuate the hospital then. And unfortunately, though, the power lines cut us off from the east, so we had to actually air evac most of the patients, and then we had to move them up through the center of the state for the rest of them. But because we had the only emergency room close by, we had to keep the emergency room open. And this was not a good idea because, you know, you have no backup services and you're running your ER off, you know, two little generators from Home Depot that, you know, you can't do surgery or anything on. Here's where our costs, and, you know, we're not a big place, so we don't have a big budget to begin with, $720,000 of damages. But another big lesson we learned was about insurance and FEMA. And, you know, we dealt with FEMA some in the past. You know, our insurance paid for the roof and they paid for those portables. But, you know, we also had a business interruption clause in our insurance policy. Well, they got out of paying that because it was either wind damage or water damage. And, you know, they don't cover any of that. And then FEMA only paid us $72,000 on what was left over. So we, you know, wound up, and of course, being a tax district hospital, the taxpayers wound up paying the rest of the damage. So then, of course, everybody gets real interested in the dike, and the Army Corps of Engineers, about 2 weeks after the hurricane, said, oh, by the way, the levee's almost breached, you know, and they came up with these wonderful pictures, and then Tom Clear, who helped me put this together, came up with a lot of these. You can see how these they crack underneath the earthenware there, and they were very close, apparently, to flowing over. And so then, of course, they give you these diagrams about how quickly it is till you flood. So we have less than a day to evacuate if those levees breach and if they flood. Now, the county then put together some folks in the area to try to address what would we do and when would we evacuate and when would we evacuate the town. Now, out in the area, there's about 60,000 people. But, you know, they don't want the hospital to close if they evacuate the people, which, you know, comes with its own set of problems, of course. But you can see there that we have this grid that's on the intensity of the hurricane and then the level of the lake. So if you have a low lake level, and again, we're only 10, 11 feet now, you could stay there at any level of a hurricane and you should be okay. And then you can see you get into the high risk when you have a lot of water in the lake and then a bad storm. Okay, what did we learn? Well, we're doing a replacement hospital now, which is good because those images kind of prompted those in governance to make a decision to go ahead and replace the hospital. It was long overdue, but it you know, the first floor is going to be quite high so that we don't have to worry about flooding from now on. Know your insurance policies is another big lesson because they, you know, you're going to get caught with some problems there. We also had a big problem with communication. I had one of those satellite phones. It didn't work. Nobody's cell phones works. Nextel, Verizon, nothing worked. The only thing that worked was our 800 megahertz radios. And so we actually had to arrange all the evacuations by radio, which was really fun. Pre-communicate with people in charge, and particularly the county. And again, they have this expectation we're going to keep a hospital open. Well, if I'm evacuating my staff's family, is my staff going to stay and work when their family's not there? You know, that's a big issue. Some will, but the hospital wasn't included in the evacuation, and you know, we've brought that issue back several times to them. What do you want us to do? It's not a good idea for the ER to stay open. I think that's it. So if you have, oh, wait a minute, there's one more there, and then coordination, and how important that is. All right, any questions? Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? We could not get a signal on them. I mean, they were charged because we even charged them, we recharged them into our little, you know, Home Depot generator, but couldn't get them to work. All right, thank you.